From the backstretch at Saratoga, this is Loose on the Lead with Steve Bick and Seth Merrill.
Good morning and welcome to Loose on the Lead. My normal Sunday morning partner, Steve Bick, out of town this week again. He was down at Colonial for the Arlington Million, so I'm solo this morning. But we have a nice lineup coming up for you, so hopefully you'll stay tuned and enjoy. Coming up a little bit later on, Jesse Ullery from Faisik Tipton. We'll get a little recap on Monday and Tuesday action from this week, earlier this week, where the fireworks went off down the street. But I also wanted him in to kind of preview tonight and tomorrow during the day, the New York bread sale, which has become very popular. And I always say, if you haven't been up for the sales, come up. It's a lot of fun to hang out, and they love to have you. That adds a little juice to the atmosphere if they get a nice crowd. So, again, tonight, tomorrow night, the New York bread sales. We'll talk a little bit about that coming up. Later on, Joe Bianca. Now with West Point, he was with TDN for quite a while, but he's also doing a brand new podcast, so I want to come on, talk a little bit about that. And he made a little day trip to Colonial yesterday, so we'll get some thoughts, boots on the ground at Colonial for the Arlington Million yesterday. But speaking of yesterday, we had him on earlier in the meet after the win in the Kelso, but I walked in the winner's circle. I said, Lee, we have to get on again after the win yesterday by Costa Creed. It's our friend Lee Einsiedler. Congratulations.
Good morning, Seth. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, happy to have you after that performance. I'll have the guys tee it up right away. We'll watch the four-star Dave here yesterday. He came into it off the win in the Kelso, and Bill Mott said in the winner's circle after the Kelso, the game plan was to come up and go into the four-star day, but he was doing so well. Boom, and so he gets the Kelso win. And then yesterday, the thought process was you guys got the jump on Annapolis in the last one in the Kelso, and if Annapolis could get the jump, and he did, and as we get a little further in the race and about the eighth pole, I thought you had your work cut out for you, but he pins his ears back. This was a phenomenal performance. Give us your thoughts
like you said, we were very confident Annapolis was going to get the jump on us. That had to be their plan after the way the Kelso went, and that's what happened. Right about now, the race was going just the way we thought it would be. We thought the long shots would be winging it out there on the lead, particularly Mycee Cottagen with 114 pounds. By the way, we gave Annapolis a pound yesterday, just for the record. So we thought it would be this way, and it just unfolded the way we thought, and Louis had Kasia Creed in a good spot, a little wide, but we were confident in that, no problem, and Annapolis in front of us and down inside.
And Louis said that you guys knew how it was going to play out, and he was kind of playing just to what was expected. But again, you can see Annapolis starts to separate here, and if folks, the connections of Annapolis and the betters on Annapolis probably felt pretty good at this point, but in the pink, he pins his ears back and
well,
rolls.
I think they rode Annapolis correctly.
He wanted to
you know, get away from us and see if they could steal the race. And right about here, I think he was probably pretty confident. But right about now, the way Kasia Creed was moving, I was pretty confident I would be in your show tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.
This was phenomenal. Right? Really one of the big performances this year at the meet, but just overall when you look at what Kasia Creed has done up here. And before you went on the set, you said you knew you had the omen working for you.
Well, you know, I picked up Saturday's racing form, right? And I thought Kasia Creed would be on the cover, right? Defending champion, four-star Dave. And we have great respect for every horse that we run against, and I have tremendous respect for Annapolis and Todd. They do an amazing job. So Annapolis was on the cover, not Kasia Creed. So I thought, oh, now I'm really confident, you know? Like last year when they said Regal Glory couldn't get beat, I said to you here a year ago that when you give the trophy before the race, it normally doesn't work out. So there was Annapolis on the front cover. I brought the Daily Racing form over. I showed it to Kasia Creed. Look, you're not even on the cover. He looked at me and said, don't worry. It'll be good this afternoon.
Don't worry, boss. I'm ready. I love that. And you know, I mentioned one the Kelso and in the winner's circle afterwards. That wasn't necessarily the game plan when you come up here. Was there any consternation after the Kelso, you know, given the situation, or was it all systems go?
You know, not really. Now, last year, we had gone to Dubai. So we gave him 2 months to get him ready for the four-star Dave. This year, we went to Saudi Arabia but skipped Dubai. So he was so ready to run, the Kelso made a lot of sense. Yeah. And then I said to Bill about a week after the Kelso, you know, maybe the four-star David's going to come up quick. An alternative is Woodbine in September, and I thought that one-turn configuration there would be great for him. And Bill said, come on, let me show you something. And we looked in a stall. He said, they could run the four-star Dave today. We're ready to go.
Yeah, very good. And clearly that was the case. When you sat down, I asked if you've been over to see him, and you said you have gone and taken a look this morning. And
yeah, he came out of the race great. He cooled out terrific. He looks great. He ate up. He's happy. He's got all the flowers. Yeah. And yesterday was truly an unbelievable day.
It was incredible. And we were hoping to get your partner in the horse, Mike Francesa, on this morning. He had to head back.
Hard to believe. He's got twins that are off to college this week. I remember when they were born, it seems like yesterday. But Jack is on his way to Hamilton to play football.
Oh, nice.
And Emily, she's on her way to Villanova. I think she'll probably be a president of the United States one day. She's so brilliant. Or maybe too brilliant to want that job. But they're off to college tomorrow. So he went back last night.
But he was obviously elated in the winner's circle, too.
Yes.
And before you sat down, we were kind of talking. What's the game plan here? Obviously, a win and you're in. You're headed to the Breeders' Cup. What's the game plan coming out of here?
We'll give him a rest now. There's no reason to run him between now and the Breeders' Cup. He's run twice this year here, and not including what he did in Saudi Arabia, where we know he ran great. So he'll get a little rest now. We'll prepare him to be in the Breeders' Cup. He ran once before in Santa Anita. Got totally washed out in the paddock that day. He gets warm in the paddock, but that day he got extra warm and washed.
Somebody asked me. I was in the paddock, and somebody I didn't know said, boy, that horse is getting a little hot. I said, I think that's kind of his M.O.
It is his M.O. He knows it's time to go, and he just has that energy. But he ran very good in the Shoemaker Mile a few years back at Santa Anita. So we know what the competition is in America. We have no idea what's coming from overseas. But we wouldn't trade positions with anybody.
Yeah. And, you know, longtime owner, and you've owned a lot of horses. Just talk about what it has to be like to own a horse like that. Just so special. Particularly, he's now won two grade ones in a row with the four-star Dave up here. Two, you know, repeated year after year. But at ages 6 and 7.
Yeah. It's so hard to even talk about, or it's so hard to come to grips with what this horse has meant to our lives. It's unbelievable. They become part of your family. And when you have one that's running at the highest level in the world at 7, it's just a tremendous testament to Bill Mott and his crew and how they've managed this horse his entire career. I've said it a lot of times, Seth. We won the Hall of Fame up here when he was 3, and then we were going to run him out of town in September. And Bill said, we're not going. I'm putting him away, and you'll see him in the spring, because I think as he gets older, he's going to get better. And good trainers can predict the future, and Bill did. And I think that's a big reason why we are where we are today.
And it's just, you know, for folks, and I always say, up here at Saratoga, I think a lot of our viewers may be newer to the game, and to have a 7-year-old race at this level
great.
Is just phenomenal.
It just goes to show you, if you take care of them, and you do the right thing, you don't race them too much, a lot goes into it, and I'm about racing, not about breeding, so I'm happy to keep them on the track. Somebody asked me yesterday, does he become a stallion now? I'm thinking, how fun would it be to try this again next year? Bill Mott just won a stake with Channelmaker. He's 9.
Oh,
if we could bring him back here a year from now, that would really be fun. All I'm thinking
that
about.
That would be crazy. Talk a little bit about how you got the horse.
Kenny McPeak picked him out in Keeneland for me. He said, I think you should buy this horse. He's going to run early. He's probably grass, but could be dirt. He won't be a fortune. I think you could have a lot of fun with him. We bought him. It cost about $100,000. And sure enough, we got him to Saratoga. We ran him. And I think he was 5th or 6th. And then when the entries came out, Bill Mott shocked me. He put him in on 6 days rest as an MTO. And I was like, wow, I didn't see that coming on 6 days rest. So then the race day came up. We went to the paddock. And when he put Junior on, he said, showtime. I said, oh, we're going to win a race in Saratoga. And he went on the dirt. But we knew he was a grass horse.
Yeah.
He has that high knee action. And we took off from there. He came back here and won the Hall of Fame. And
the rest is history, as they
yes.
say. And for folks who don't know, you got the logo and the hat.
Yep.
Casa Creed by Jimmy Creed. Talk a little bit about the name.
Yeah, well, Casa Creed is by Jimmy Creed. And Casa Amigos Tequila. So fortunate to get involved with the guys who created it. Randy Gerber, George Clooney, and Mike Melman. As you know, I've spent my career over 40 years in the liquor business, and they created this beautiful product, and they needed somebody to do the heavy lifting day to day, and they found me, and I found them, and we've been together for a decade now, and we've had great success. So,
you ever get those guys in the track?
Well, the answer is not right now. I can tell you George Clooney walked hots at Keeneland when he was a kid.
Oh, did he? Oh, wow.
He's from Augusta, Kentucky.
I did not know that.
Yep, his parents still live in the house in Augusta, Kentucky.
Oh, that's crazy.
And this week I'll send them a note that if all goes according to plan, we'll be in L.A. the first week in November. If they're in town, maybe they'll come out for the race.
But I
got a lot of text messages from last night. George wrote me, geez, can't this horse ever win from on the front? He gives me a heart attack always off the pace. I said, as long as we get there, it doesn't matter. But they're big supporters, and they're amazing people, and I'm privileged to have a business career with them.
Very good, very good. Talk a little bit overall how you get your horses and what you look for. I'm assuming most of them are at auction. You don't play the claiming game really at all,
no,
do you?
No, I did a couple of times. It's just not my thing. We like going to Keeneland. When I first started in this game, I spent more money than I should have. I thought the more money you spend, the faster they run. It doesn't necessarily work that way. And now, for more than a decade, Mike Francesa and I are together. So we pool our resources, which is great. We try and set a budget that's very conservative, maybe 100, maybe 200 max. We went higher last year for a colt who ran in the fifth race yesterday, a big, beautiful two-turn dirt horse. He got a great education yesterday. When we could bring Reynolds Channel downstate and run him in a mile, we think he's going to really be a force to be reckoned with. And we have a great team that helps us in Keeneland. Pat Hopple breaks yearlings, so he has eyes on horses for me. Kenny McPeak is great at it. He picked out Kasha Creed and others who we've had success with. And we also like Mike Ryan to help us. He's a very good bloodstock agent, does a great job, does a tremendous out of home. Tremendous homework. So we kind of had checks and balances. If they all don't agree on a horse, normally we wouldn't buy them.
Right.
If you can get three experts to agree on a horse, and again, we don't look to go crazy financially.
Yeah.
Kasha Creed cost $105,000. He's now made $2.4 million. So he's paid all the barn bills.
That's crazy. Yeah. Did you participate at all up here the other night?
No. Nope. As a matter of fact, I didn't go. I'm afraid if I went, I might do something stupid.
I like that very much. And we've talked about it before, but how'd you originally get into the game?
Like a lot of us from New York, you know, you go with your father at a young age and the first time I went, I was a little guy, middle of the winter at Aqueduct, 30,000 people, you know, and I fell in love with it. And then as we grew up a little bit, teenagers, when my friends were going to Shea Stadium or Yankee Stadium, I would be going to Belmont, Aqueduct, Yonkers, Roosevelt. I got a thing for the horses.
Little Meadowlands at night?
Little Meadowlands at night, loved it. And then fortunately, I've been successful enough in business to fulfill a dream of owning horses, which growing up as a kid in Flushing, Queens, you can never think that would happen. But it happened, and here we are.
Yeah, then you wind up owning a crazy horse like this. Yep. And talk about, you know, overall, being a guy who's been in the game for that long, you can appreciate the historic nature of Saratoga. So being an owner and being as involved in the game as you are, winning a couple of grade ones year after year up here had to be special.
Well, coming to Saratoga is so special. Yeah. I've been coming up here since I was a teenager. Maybe I've told you this before. I'd come here and bet the races and drive as fast as I could home to go bet the trotters at Yonkers. You can never imagine that you'd participate in grade ones at Saratoga. It's a dream come true. Yesterday was really, really special to have Amy, my fiance, with me and cheering as he came down the stretch. And my son Jeffrey and my sister and friends and family. It was one of those glorious, glorious days. It was terrific.
Yeah, you were all wearing your Breeders' Cup, winning your end caps.
Breeders' Cup hats. I was wearing my Casamigos hat for good luck.
I don't blame you.
Right.
And then there's the Breeders' Cup winning your end blanket. You guys...
Yeah, somebody grabbed it.
Okay.
Somebody has it.
I saw it floating around the winner's circle, certainly. Yeah.
They sent me a beautiful note yesterday. It's already on their website. So that's a thrill. Now we need a couple good months training. I'm sure that'll happen. We hope that'll happen.
That's a good question. Bill Mott certainly participates up here in the offseason. Will he stick around here or go downstate?
No, he'll stay here with Bill.
Okay.
No, he'll stay here with Bill.
Okay.
And I'm sure Bill will keep him up here through October.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
And then I don't know where we fly out of, but Yeah, he'll stay up here, and soon we get cooler weather, and he loves it. And just such a great place to train. He'll be up here with Bill.
It was phenomenal yesterday. I had a big smile on my face, and I'm not participating. I'm just playing it. But to sit here, that's what Saratoga is all about, performances like that. And about the eighth ball, it's like, I don't know. And then he put his ears back, and it was just
so great.
It was crazy. And then put the two wins together at the meet like that to go back-to-back with the four-star day year in and year out at 8-7. Congratulations.
Well, to run here four straight four-star Daves, he's developed a tremendous following.
Yeah.
The whole grandstand was cheering him when he came to the winner's circle. I get thousands of stuff on social media and everything else. He's known as the mayor of Saratoga. And could you imagine if we could do this again next year? That would be wild.
That would absolutely be wild. But again, congratulations.
Thanks, Seth.
Appreciate the visit this
of
morning.
Course,
again, we had you earlier, but I said yesterday, we got to get you now.
No, thanks, Seth.
That was great. Lee Einsteiner, Cassie Creed, with a crazy performance yesterday, and looking forward to the return coming up in the Breeders' Cup a little bit later on. All right, we'll take a break. We'll talk a little Faceit Tipton after the break. A little bit later on, Joe Bianco will join us as well. All of that when Loose on the Lead continues. Stay tuned.
Turn your love of racing into savings with equine discounts through the NTRA. Purchase through equine discounts and receive great savings on well-known brands like John Deere, Sherwin-Williams, Big Ass Fans, Farmers Insurance, and Office Depot. Join thousands of other equine members and support companies that give back to the sport we all love. Call 866-678-4289 or visit equinediscounts.com to start saving today.
The Clubhouse Racebook is the Capital Region's new home for racing and sports. 25,000 square feet of Vegas-style action with live wagering on the best horse racing from around the world. 260 flat-screen televisions and state-of-the-art wagering terminals. So don't miss out. The fun is only minutes away at 711 Central Avenue, Albany, just off exit 5 of I-90. And don't forget, if you can't make it to the clubhouse, you can always wager online 24/7 at CapitalOTB.com.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Loose on the Lead. As promised before the break, we are joined now by Jesse Ullery from Faceit Tipton. Reached out and said, hey, let's have a little Faceit Tipton conversation, because I've been saying it now all week long. If you missed the Monday and Tuesday sale, the sales are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And tonight you get another chance. Tomorrow afternoon you get another chance as well with the New York Bread sale. We'll talk about all that coming up. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me. I enjoy, as many people in the office will mention, I turn on Capital OTB all the time. It's the best way to watch races while we're in the office. You guys have great coverage of all the racetracks, so enjoy it, and it's a pleasure to be on set with you today.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Again, the Monday and Tuesday sale was a lot of fun. Always a lot of fun, but a lot of fun this year. A lot of fireworks and a couple of seven-figure horses on Monday, but the fireworks were flaming on Tuesday, and I pulled up a little video going back to the offspring of Beholder, hip number 165, $4 million. Talk a little bit about Tuesday night and just the success of the sale overall.
It was the success of the sale was great. We were up 12% on the gross this year. We averaged about $480,000, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
The average was up. And last year was such a crazy successful sale that we came in, we said, hey, if we can get close to that, we're going to be great. So to exceed those expectations on both the gross and the average, I think was a resounding success, and obviously highlighted by an incredible horse with the Curlin Beholder. I had we recently started a podcast at Faceit Tipton, and Ned Toffee was our first guest on there and talked about the horse. And I'm not sure he had those expectations to bring $4 million, but when you get a horse, you get an opportunity like that, that's no doubt a stallion prospect. He showed himself very, very well on the sales grounds for all three, 4 days that he was there. And then
it was certainly the one horse that was getting the buzz.
No doubt.
Yeah.
He was the buzz horse for sure. And not to take away from the other horses that brought $1 million or more, there were 10 other horses that were represented by 7 different sires. So we had a huge breadth of the marketplace, but he was a very special horse. It was a memorable night. And like you said, the atmosphere that gets created there on Monday and Tuesday, you can't replicate it. I've been with the company since 2018, and Saratoga, that magic that our president, Boyd Browning, speaks about, 100%. That atmosphere, it cannot be duplicated anywhere.
And again, I said it earlier, I think you guys encourage people to come over, right? Because that helps the atmosphere. And I tell people, again, you can check it out tonight and tomorrow, but the big sale, if you've never done that, next year, put that on your agenda. Indeed. Because it's a lot of fun to be there and see that ticker go up to millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And the backyard is full and, elbow to elbow. But again, if folks are intimidated, it's 2 blocks down from the track. And as I say, I think you guys like to have a crowd there to get the atmosphere juiced up.
Yeah, it builds the atmosphere, no doubt about it. And you also get to see the stars of tomorrow. We've had horses recently sell, like Flightline. So to say, hey, I was there to watch him sell. Yeah, hopefully there's several horses like that that people saw on Monday and Tuesday night that we're going to look at 2 and 3 years down the road and say, I remember when that horse sold and how great that was.
Yeah, and I also tell people, because I like the 2-year-old races up here, because you can find things breeding-wise that aren't necessarily on the page, so you get a little. But going to the sales over the years helped me do that, because you look at the page and you can start to see sires who are getting a little action, brand new sires are getting a little action. You maybe are a little bit ahead of the curve. And if folks aren't familiar, you get I printed up a catalog page, and it goes back, 3-4 generations. The Beholder page is great, though. I don't know whether I've ever seen a paragraph that big for
horse. For one horse kind of taking up most of the page is pretty impressive. It's very impressive.
Yeah, very good. And I will also note, as with most things in life, maybe, don't leave early, because also on Tuesday night, hip number 228, which I think was 4 or 5 before the end, that was $3.2 million.
Yeah.
So that helped as well. And it was Baffert again was playing in the pool, as he was with the bowl.
Yeah, it's good to see that breadth of the marketplace, where you had a horse like the Curlin Beholder, but he also had Into Mischief. As I mentioned, we had 10 horses that brought $1 million or more, represented by 7 different sires. You had a Twirling Candy that brought $1 million in Quality Road as well. So it was great to see that action. You're exactly right. You can get $1 million horse the first horse in the ring, or you can get $1 million horse the last horse in the ring. You really need to stay for the entirety. The buyers know that too. The pavilion was not cleared out toward the end of the evening. It was still packed. There was still plenty of action in there from the first horse on the first night to the last horse on Tuesday.
Yeah, I was standing. I am not as knowledgeable about breeding. I have to have people point out to me, hey, here are the hips to watch. So nobody had really mentioned 228. And I was standing out in the backyard and talking with some friends of mine and thinking, the end, the night's coming. And then all of a sudden look up, $1 million. Let's get back engaged. It's a lot of fun. Again, for folks who haven't been over there, there's a nice little open bar in the back, and you can go out and watch them in the paddock. And for folks who aren't familiar, how do you decide which horses go in your sale?
So we have an inspection team that goes out. If an owner nominates their yearlings to our sales, we have an entire inspection team that will go basically all across the country. We'll go out to Oklahoma and Texas. We'll go down to Florida. We'll go as far north as Canada to Ontario to inspect horses. I help out with that process. I think there's 7 or 8 of us in the office to do that. So there is a criteria that you have to go through. There's not only the pedigree. Everybody wants to buy those nice quality horses with nice quality pedigrees, but it's also the physical. And that's really what we pride ourselves on at Fasig Tipton, is bringing really quality physical horses to the sale that are going to appeal to that buying bench. And that's a tough job to do. You kind of have to forecast a little bit. You have to read into the future on what this horse is going to look like in August when you're out there looking at it in April and May, and hoping that it continues on the progression that you've seen it progress on. But yeah, we'll visit the farms, we'll talk to the people who have nominated the horses to our sales, but it is a select process, and we have to select the horse to be in the sale.
And I'm assuming it's a similar situation on the New York bred side of things.
Yeah, it is. So it's also a select sales, a New York preferred sales, what we call it, to kind of differentiate the terms from the two sales, but it's the same process, just featuring New York breds. And what a great time of year to have it. Saratoga just creates that vibe. The New York racing program is really on the up. I think people have the opportunity to run more than they ever had with New York bred races between Belmont, Aqueduct, Saratoga. The purses are great. There's plenty of opportunity out there. And I think you're seeing bigger stables take advantage of that. Not only guys who are just based in New York, but you have Steve Asmussen and guys that come up
Dean
here.
Dean Reeves is certainly participating.
Dean Reeves has been huge. Yeah, he's really, really been an advocate for the program. And that's a great poster child for the program, to see how great it is and the level of success you can have, not only just in New York, but you can have a nice New York bred win across the country.
Yeah, And it seems like, you know, to my eye, because I've been going to these sales for quite a while now, the New York Red Sale has become more and more popular over the last 4 or 5 years. Nice little crowd out there.
Absolutely.
Good buzz in the building.
Absolutely. I think you're seeing that the catalog is huge this year. There's over 360 yearlings that were cataloged in the sale this year. We actually had to put up a temporary stabling over there to help out to accommodate all the horses, because I think New York breeders are seeing the great opportunities out there. You're seeing a number of people step up to buy New York breds. And because of that, we've had one of the larger catalogs we've had in the past few years. And there's exciting horses in there. There's New Sires by King for a Day, who's standing up here now, in Honest Mischief. And then, of course, you've got Tizalah, who was a New York sale graduate.
Now has
his first crop with some New York breds in there as well. So that's very exciting. So it's fun to see those horses that are sale graduates then become sires, and you get to sell the progeny.
I had Jack Knowlton in the other day. I think he said he's going to be over there looking.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We saw him out there walking around,
Wouldn't be surprising at all. And for folks, we mentioned stick around because you don't know what you get beginning of the sale or end of the sale. For folks who aren't familiar, it's just a random process. You pick a letter out of the alphabet, right, and you go by the dam's name.
Yes.
Do I have that right?
Yeah, it's cataloged alphabetically by dam. Now, the Beholder was sort of a late entry, so it got stuck in on a page that we were kind of saving for hip numbers. But most of the time, I mean, well, not most of the time, 99.9% of the time, it's alphabetical by dam, and that's how your hip numbers are like, completely random.
And so if people are also looking up the results, that's the way you're going to look up the results
exactly.
As well, alphabetically by the dam. You also did something that I'm not familiar with up here. You had kind of a virtual sale for a stallion season.
So it was a share in Not This Time, who has had an incredible rise through the stallion ranks, a very young stallion. He's only 9 years old, and I mentioned this when we were selling the share. So, you know, breeding rights and shares are a little bit different, but when you're a shareholder, it's no different than being a stockholder, essentially. So you own a share in that stallion. So the higher they go up the stallion ranks and the more expensive they become to breed to, the more you're going to benefit from that. So that was a really, really cool thing for us to do on the first night of the sale. And I think it set the tone a little bit too. It was a very, very popular for all the breeders that are up here, but it was a very popular horse to get into. It brought $2 million. So it was kind of weird not having a horse in the ring while you're having an auction or not having anything represented, but Not This Time really needed no introduction. Had a great weekend, and yesterday had the Secretariat winner down at Colonial Downs. So he's a horse that was very well sought after, and it's a great time to get in on a young stallion.
Yeah, and maybe kind of a wave of the future. I don't think it'll ever overwhelm having the horses in the ring, but the flight line sale, the share sale last fall certainly kind of opened people's eyes, and so I think it offers a kind of a new opportunity for everybody on your side of things.
Absolutely, and it's another way to market things to the public. I always tell that to people when we're recruiting horses and looking at yearlings. It's my line that I go to is, how do you know it's for sale unless you advertise it as for sale? And I think you really find true price discovery in the public auction process, and I think that was a great price for the share for Not This Time. It kind of helped value the horse for everyone else, and the yearling market is much the same way.
Jesse, really appreciate it. And again, give us the update times tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah, so we start at 7 o'clock tonight. There's 360 head over the next 2 days, but we'll start at 7 o'clock tonight. We sell about 100 horses tonight. But because it is a race day, we start a little bit later. Sure. Want to make sure everybody has time to get over there from the races. Then we'll come back at 12 o'clock on Monday to wrap it up, and that'll complete the Saratoga yearling sale season for us.
And again, highly tell people, if you haven't ever been to the sales, it's literally you walk out the main exit here on East Avenue, you walk down two blocks, there's the sales pavilion. You'll have a lot of fun, believe me. And then I always tell people that the racing season really wraps up every year. You guys are back here in, what, October?
Yeah, we come back in October. We have a fall sale for mares that are in foal, but also weanlings, so horses who were born earlier this spring. We sell those up here in October, and it's a little different feel. It's a much different vibe, but it's beautiful up here. The leaves are changing. I tell everyone to come up in the fall just not only for the sale, but to experience Saratoga in the fall. Is an absolutely gorgeous place.
And I tell people it's our last shot at horse racing. We're a couple of months out of Saratoga. You're still kind of, and so you get a couple of, you know, you get a little bit. Yeah, a little extra juice there before the year winds down. So we'll tout that as we get closer as well. Jesse, really appreciate the visit. And again, I wanted to get somebody on to talk a little bit about and recap, but also promo tonight and tomorrow so people will know. Our friend Anna Seitz usually jumps on, but she recommended you, and I'm glad she did. You did a great job. I will also tout, you ever do voiceover work?
Well, I'm one of the announcers for the sale. I'm one of the pedigree readers during the auction.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes, that's because I was going to say you have a great voice.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Good.
And you mentioned podcasts. People go to the website, they'll find that?
Yeah, so you can go to FazeyTipton.com. It's also available on Apple Podcast and all the other different providers. So we just did the first one as sort of a July recap. We will come back and do another New York Bread / Saratoga recap probably sometime the end of this month when we get back into town, and then keep doing it, you know, as we look forward to the October sales. And we have a very, very busy fall slate of sales. So we will continue to put out podcasts kind of around that.
All right. So we'll look for it. Again, if people go to the Facing Tipton website, they can pick that up. Jesse Ullery from Facing Tipton. Again, swing by tonight. Appreciate the visit.
Thank you, Seth. Appreciate it.
All right. We'll take a break. He's in the house. Joe Bianca. Again, we knew him from TDN when he was doing the work there. Now he's over with West Point. He's got a new podcast. We'll cover all of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Bridgestone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Bridgestone. Bridgestone surges past. Bridgestone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Welcome back to Loose on the Lead. My normal Sunday partner, Steve Vick, covering the Colonial races this weekend with the radio show and whatnot. So he's not in, but we'll get a little boots on the ground conversation about Colonial, because a little day trip down there yesterday for our friend Joe Bianca. He went, he's up here at Saratoga. Saw him at the sales the other night, said, come on in, we'll talk to you. And then planned to have him in yesterday. He said, no, I'm going to be down at Colonial. I thought, wow, that's nice. A little quick turnaround. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Seth. Good to be here. I'm keeping the seat warm for Steve. I feel like that's all I'm doing.
And right it comes full circle, because I think that's where I originally met you, over at the barbecue for Steve.
Yeah, no, we go way back, and yeah. I remember you coming by. And what was your order at the Carolina barbecue?
I would get the pulled pork. I believe.
Yes, yeah, that was money. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I missed the barbecue.
Me too. I know.
It was like a social atmosphere. Right, well, Steve kind of keeping the circus alive on the little patio.
Exactly. It was a great congregation grounds. It was sort of the Thorograph seminars in the morning. Yeah, that was the spot.
And we'll talk a little bit more about it in a minute, but you spent a lot of time at TDN Thoroughbred Daily News. Mm-hmm. Now you're off on your own doing the podcast and whatnot. But let's talk a little Colonial yesterday, because we mentioned it during the handicapping show. First time Arlington Million, Bev D, secretary at Colonial. What was it like yesterday? Nice crowd, nice experience?
It was a good crowd. Yeah, it was hot, man. It was super hot, like 95, high humidity. So that was a little tough, and I think it affected some of the horses, including West Point's horse, who we had in the secretariat, Northern Invader, who ran fifth. I think it was just a little too hot for some of them. But other than that, it was a nice day of racing. It was great. You know, I love those mostly turf cards at Colonial, big fields, low takeout if you're better. That's a really, really important thing. Yeah, and they had a good setup. There was a Jockey Club dining hall was full of people. It was a good time.
Is this a secretary? I do not know what race this is. I did not call for this.
Yeah, this is a secretary.
Okay, yes. So you got Northern Invader is going to be a nice horse for you guys.
I think
though.
So, too. I think just... yesterday, like I said, it was a little too hot. He just kind of ran evenly. But before that, he had a big eight-length maiden win at Belmont. That was really impressive.
Trained by Cherie. We had Cherie in earlier.
Yeah.
And so, picked up by David Ngordo, right?
Yep. Yeah, and he actually, David stayed in and owns part of him as well.
Okay.
I think it was a little too hot, and it was, you know, step up from maidens to grade two.
Yeah.
He's only his fourth start, so we still think the world of him.
Yeah, I mean, it winds up, what, fifth?
Yeah, he's beaten like two and three quarter lengths. Yeah.
And at the top of the stretch, he was right there. You did have a win earlier on the card, though, right, for sure?
Yeah, Integration in the fourth race. He was the horse that kind of took a little while to come around. He was an expensive Phasic Saratoga yearling, but it was worth the wait because he blew him away, won by 6.5 lengths. It was nice we had some partners there for him as well, not just for Northern Invader, and they had a blast in the winner's circle. It was a good time. And, yeah, Tyler said he felt great. He said he had two more gears, I think, that he could have gone to. So, yeah, he was the bright spot of the day for sure.
So nice little trip, day trip to Colonia and get in the winner's circle.
Yeah,
gotta love that. And then as you sat down, you were talking because I said – I was shocked when I said, hey, can we get you on Saturday? You're like, I'm out of town Saturday, but Sunday. And I thought, how's he getting back on Sunday? But a little, when you sat down, you said a little private jet with some of the participants, obviously jockeys and whatnot. You said a little dicey on the way back with some weather.
It was, man. It was touch and go there for a little bit south of Saratoga. There were some real pretty bad storms that we were going through. And if you've ever been on a small plane that drops suddenly, it is very scary. But I was telling Seth that, you know, it was Johnny V was the one keeping everybody calm because Johnny's done a million of those flights before, and I'm sure he's seen, you know, Wizard of Oz type experiences. So all we had to do was keep looking at Johnny smiling, and we were like, we're going to be okay.
I can see where that would happen. He's that kind of guy. And I had a brother who was in the, before he passed away, he had retired from the Air Force, and my two sisters and I will occasionally say, man, I was on a flight and we're going, how are the wings say? He's like, oh, you're fine.
Yeah.
So I would go to him for that kind of reassurance. Mm-hmm. I mentioned you were at TDN for a while. Now moved over to West Point. Talk a little bit about the West Point experience. You're wearing the jersey.
Yeah, got the team on. It's fun, man. It's an adjustment for me coming from the journalism world for sure. But it's the enthusiasm is what is really great. And like, you know, I just speak from my personal experience. In my regular life, I'm not around that many people who are into racing. So to come up here, and it doesn't have to be here. It could be anywhere. Go to the races. Be around 20-25 people who are so passionate and so engaged in the sport and competing to win races, and that kind of honestly like rejuvenates the passion in me, because you know how it is game, like it can wax and wane, especially with some of the stuff we've had to deal with recently. But like seeing that joy and that passion on the West Point partners' faces, it's a real great experience.
Yeah, Terry's done a great job, and Tommy Bellhouse has been there for years and years. Jason Blewett, fairly new as you are, he's been around a little bit longer. We had Tommy and Jason, and we'll get Terry in before the meet ends as well. But I see those guys, you know, when West Point has a horse in out in the paddock with the group, and then typically the group will watch the race from the big screen down in the clubhouse, and you can tell people are totally into it.
Man, we had a win the other day, Friday. Gallon of Rush won the fifth race.
Yeah,
that was a scene. We had about 40 people there, and that's like a medium-sized group for West Point up in Saratoga. And so especially when you get to win and a place like this, like there's nothing like it.
Yeah. And I keep telling people as we bring partnership people in during the meet, part of it is, a lot of it is, up here at Saratoga, the social aspect. You get to go to the paddock, horse wins, you go to Saratoga Winner's Circle, but a lot of fun also in the mornings, people out kind of seeing their horses on the backstretch.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I'm coming from right now. Every morning we post up at the coffee stand, usually there from about 6:30 to 9:30 or so. We have a good crowd pretty much every morning out there, and you know how it is.
Yeah.
Like the Saratoga backside is just, it's special. It's magical. And, you know, sometimes we have a lot of veterans who are there all the time. And then today I took some people around who had never been and never been to the Oklahoma. And it's kind of like having a child a little bit. You get to see it through their eyes, you know, everything that you're used to. That part is really great. And there's no better place to make an introduction than here.
I had that thought, but that's true. You bring a new fan. On the front side with betting, I get that sometimes. I always say, you know, we're so keyed into, I'm not going to play this horse, it's 4-5. And then you sit next to somebody you brought to the track the first time, and they cash for $3.80 a show bet. And they're like, and you realize, oh, okay, I got to readjust it.
No, exactly. And if you're a horse player, you're like, even if you cash, you're like, I wanted the bigger score. You know, I should have had this, this, and this. But, like, yeah, like you say, if you can simplify it and just be happy to cash a bet, like, it's pristine. Like, don't ruin that for people, you know?
They're thrilled to go up to the window and get a little money back. All right, let's shift gears to the new podcast because, again, when you were TDN, you were doing the writer's room. Great job there. And I'm guessing the itch was still there when you moved away, and now you have – there's the website. Now you have the Rail Talk podcast. So talk a little bit about the impetus for it and what you're doing with Rail Talk.
I feel like this is all podcast episode following Jesse. But, yeah, so my buddy John Green, who's the general manager of DJ Stable, who I worked with on the writer's room, also our producer, Patty Wolf, who we worked together. They both do a great job, and we have a really good rapport. And, you know, we wanted to get the band back together. We've done 6 episodes so far, and it's just we try to keep it loose, you know. And that's, I think that's something that you and Steve do really well as well, is that, you know, bring the best out of people and their personalities. You know, we don't necessarily care about having, like, A-list, quote-unquote, racing people. We just want to have interesting people who have stories to tell and have good humor. So that's what we do. You know, we didn't have a guest this past week just because of the whole Maple Leaf Mel thing. It didn't feel appropriate to be, like, yucking it up with a guest. But check that episode out if you haven't, because it was raw. You know, we have real raw emotional reaction to that, and, you know, it was therapeutic, honestly. And it's just, we have a lot of fun, and I think people have fun on the show with us, and, you know, we talk about serious topics as well, but we crack jokes on each other, and it's been really fun so far, and just I always feel good after we finish an episode, you know?
I went to pull up a shot, and I think we have a shot of you and John doing the podcast, and there are still frames on your website of the, and they're all like this. Everybody's laughing. Your guests are always laughing at it. So I'm like, oh, this is fun.
It's a lot of joking around and clowning around, and we had, just because, like I said, we have a really good rapport. You know, we kind of set each other up a little bit sometimes, and we try not to take ourselves too seriously, even if sometimes we do talk about serious topics. You know.
Yeah, and I keep telling people that's what the racetrack should be. It should be fun. That's why you're here, to have some fun. Sometimes people get so keyed into, I lost the double today. It's like, step back. If you're that kind of crazy, step back a little bit.
Might not be for you.
Yeah, readjust, because it should be fun, and to have a podcast out like that as well. And again, Rail Talk, and had the website up there. You can check it out. All of the episodes are there. Oh, for folks who don't know your co-host, talk a little bit about John.
Yeah, so John is the general manager for DJ Stable. DJ Stable has won, I think, over 2,500 races their 40 years racing. They used to be based in Monmouth, but now they're all over the place. They had 2 winners, actually, at Colonial yesterday.
Oh, nice.
Back-to-back, Glider and Bouncer, right before the Turf Stakes started. John's a great guy. You know, his dad is a great guy. Len Green is the capitan of the Green Group, is, like, you know, basically the preeminent, you know, horse business tax experts in this industry. And they're both great guys, very passionate, and great senses of humor, like I said. And just really good guys who just have done this for decades and have never lost the competitive fire. You know, they sold a couple yearlings last week at FaceIg. I'm sure they'll be buying a couple as well. And John's a really good guy. We go back a little bit. We've become pretty close friends. And that's part of the reason the podcast is so good, because we know each other and we hang out normally. So it's really just putting that on air. But John and Len and the Greens, they're A-class people in this business. And
is there a regular schedule once a podcast drop?
We do it every week. It's not a set day. Okay. Every week kind of depends on the schedule of the guests. Like, so Monday we're having Lisa Lazarus, the Heisa CEO, on. So she's going to be on this Monday. The episodes usually come out the next day or maybe 2 days later. We're also doing these smaller episodes called Breakaway Rail Talk.
Tell that.
Yeah, so John did one recently where he interviewed this author who wrote about all the Triple Crown winners. I'm going to do one with a smaller time owner who I'm friendly with coming up in the next few weeks. But usually weekly, and then we'll drop. We did an emergency podcast. I hate that phrase, because it's like nothing could be less essential than a podcast. It's like, but it was like when the Jason Service news came down, we were like, we got to get on and talk about this. So we'll pop up episodes like that. There's a lot of content, but the main show is once a week.
All right, very good. Joe, as I said, when I saw you over there, I knew we had to have you on, talk about the podcast and more, your new association, fairly new, with West Point. And today we also got a little first-hand info on Colonial yesterday, which is, who thought on Sunday morning I would have somebody from Colonial that was
Steve.
There? Yeah, exactly. When he comes back in, I'm putting that on him. You show up and Steve can't. Really appreciate it. And as we said earlier, I've known you for a long time, going back to the barbecue, so it's nice to see the career trajectory and you've stayed in. Oh, speaking of that, I ask all the guests, and we probably asked you when you've been on before, how'd you become a fan of the game?
I got into it through handicapping. So I had a buddy of mine, his dad would make bets for us on the Triple Crown races. And, you know, it was always fun just to watch the Derby and have a little bit of a rooting interest. And then in 2003, the funny side year, I decided to do it on my own. Cash to try for like $600.
You're in.
16-year-old me. That's all the money I could ever need. And then that summer, I taught myself at a handicap. I used to go down to the dusty old New York City OTBs, the Capital OTBs are not dusty. They're beautiful, by the way. I don't know which camera I'm looking at, but they're very nice.
Clubhouse Racebook is a really nice facility. That's where we broadcast from most of the year.
Oh, cool. Yeah. No, it's a great spot. New York City OTBs weren't as nice, but that's where I cut my teeth. You know, there's a lot of hardcore handicappers there. Came up to Saratoga in 2005 and coming back ever since.
Yeah, very good. Joe, appreciate the visit. Wish you a lot of good luck going forward, and we'll talk again.
Of course. Always great to be with you, Seth.
Joe Bianca, again, check it out, the Rail Talk podcast. All right, we'll take our final break, come back a little more to this Sunday morning Loose on the Lead. Stay tuned.
I got it. Watch me. I got it. Something that makes me want to shout. I got something that tells me what it's all about. I got a move that tells me what to do. If you don't, brothers and sisters, then you won't know what it's all about.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Tell me if that's good. No, the countdown is too late. I was already on. I was trying to make a little contact with the control room there to get things straightened out. Coming out of the... okay, all right. Now I'm being reassured. Do want to remind you, over on the front side today, Low Rollers. Keep that in mind. Sunday, it's always a lot of fun. Thursdays and Sundays. I have the show pool today. The pool has been selected. I think everybody's been alerted. I'd wait until scratches and whatnot before I put together the plays, but everybody will be alerted to the plays. We'll put those on the website. A little later today on the website, the next Saturday syndicate will open up. So keep that in mind as well. That'll open up a little bit later today for the syndicate coming up next Saturday if you're interested in that. Don't forget, Del Mar today has a mandatory pay in their pick six, $373,000. $1,000 in the pool so far. All right, we have a little time, and I thought I'd pull up video. Last couple of years, I've gone to the TRF Barbecue, Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation Barbecue out at the Saratoga Winery, put together a little piece to air a day or two later, because it's a fun event. It gives you a little flavor of the event, but also there's usually some notables there from the TRF and just the racing world, and last year was the same, but the TRF barbecue tickets, I think you have a couple more days. And I looked last night, it looks like there's still tickets available. It's typically a sellout. So again, if you go to the TRF website and check, you still have a couple days to get your tickets. But I thought we'd pull up last year's video of the barbecue just to give you some flavor and an idea and maybe point you to going to the barbecue this year and having some fun. I'll be there again this year as well. A lot of the people... winery. So coming up, last year,
It is an honor to speak for the horses of the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. These horses bring each and every one of us so much joy. Our work is to take care of the Thoroughbred athletes who have finished their racing career and are unable to perform a second athletic career. Sometimes they come off the track and they need to be retired right away. Sometimes they go on to do two or three other careers, polo ponies, show jumpers, dressage horses, cutting horses. But as they reach the end of that career, they need a safe place to land. And that is what we do at the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. It is to provide sanctuary to equine athletes when they cannot no longer perform as an athlete. So we do that because it's the right thing to do. But I will tell you, every single person here would tell you, we do it because they give us much, much more than we ever, ever give them, than they ever give us. It is such a joy to be at this event. So talking about this event, our organization is nearly 40 years old. It is entirely here because of the kind donations, the leadership, the support, the enthusiasm of countless individuals who have donated, who have supported us, who have told our story. That's a lot of people. And on a day like today, we actually get to get a lot of those people together in one place. And it is simply magical. We have definitely proven tonight that the love we have for these horses and the joy we find in being together is not going to be deterred by any matter of monsoon-like Saratoga summer storm, including hail, sideways rain, and dark clouds. And maybe that's why tonight is maybe more fun than any other barbecue. We always think we're having the best time. But today, you look around the crowd and you see people who love these horses, who give to these horses, and love to come together to celebrate that very fact. So the TRF barbecue at the barn, I may be a little damper than I usually am at this point in the barbecue, but my heart is so full of thanks to everyone who's here tonight. Every one of our volunteers, our hardworking staff, our incredible sponsors, everyone who donated to raffle baskets and silent auction. This is a celebration of the horses and all of us who love them.
Horses, and I was a member of that, and we made a lot of recommendations. One of the biggest recommendations was every owner, trainer had to look at a video about 15 minutes on horse racing aftercare. That was the best achievement, I think, of that group. And Saratoga Stable historically has been a big supporter. Old Friends is one of ours, and Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation is another.
I mean, it's so important that these horses go on to have a second career or
somewhere to go after they're finished on the track. You know, they give us everything in the mornings and the afternoons through the young part of their lives, but a lot of people don't realize these horses live to be 25, 30 years old. And they, you know, in the state of New York, you can't run until after the age of 10. So they need somewhere to go, and they, a lot of them need a second career as well. TRF is very, very close to mine and Maggie's heart. Maggie actually sits on the board. But there's some wonderful organizations out there like Rerun, etc. as well, who do a fabulous job, and it's very, very important that these horses have a safe place to go.
So as we celebrate our work and we bring people together tonight, it is especially opportune to really celebrate our flagship program, which is the TRF Second Chances Program. When our first horse got off the band in 1984, he stepped off the band at a prison in upstate New York called the Walk Hill Correctional Facility. His name was Promise Road. Now, for nearly 40 years, that program has been running. And what has been happening there is we've been saving horses, and they've been changing lives. And that is made possible in partnership with the New York Department of Corrections and Community Supervision. What an honor to have Acting Commissioner Anthony Annucci here, his whole leadership team, to celebrate with us, to spend time with us, and to all join together in celebrating the farm managers at the two programs in New York who are taking care of our horses and changing lives along the way. So it's really very special to have them with us and to have everyone get to meet them tonight.
This is a wonderful program. It's a wonderful partnership. It goes back almost 40 years now. Started at Walk Hill, recently expanded to Wyoming Correctional Facility. And it's just a way for individuals who are incarcerated, who made a mistake, to really give back something meaningful to humanity. And they learn a lot about themselves taking care of horses. I happen to have horses in my own barn. I know what it is to care for these animals. And certainly the thoroughbreds who have given so much to us, racing and working hard, deserve to be treated royally in their retirement. And so these incarcerated individuals learn to love them. They learn to have confidence. They learn to give something back to humanity, feel good about themselves, and just really feel that they have to be proud of giving something to society.
So I've been around with the New York State Department of Corrections for 4.5 years. I'm the vocational instructor for the Department of Corrections, and I'm the farm manager for the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation at Walk Hill Correctional Facility. That's been around since 1984, and we are going to be celebrating our 40th anniversary in 2 years. That's 2024, that we will be celebrating 40 years at Walk Hill Correctional Facility.
Hundreds of years old, thoroughbred aftercare has become a real priority in, I would say, the last 20 years, but the TRF has been around for almost 40 years, so they've been doing it for a really long time. And I think that everybody involved with the industry at this point is starting to realize that when you are thinking about donating to thoroughbred aftercare, if you make a living in this industry, it's not a donation, it's an obligation. And the TRF does such a great job with their herd, with managing their herd, and they take the horses that other people don't want because you can't ride them, and they find a way for those horses to have a really good life. And so it's important for thoroughbred aftercare all over and all across the board, but I especially love what the TRF does.
from this coming Tuesday. It's a fun event every year. Nice food, nice crowd. Again, some horse racing industry people are there. Benefits the TRF, the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, a good organization. Go to trfinc.org, trfinc.org. That's their website, and you can get information. Click on the events link, and you get information. According to last night, there were still tickets available. It's usually a sellout, and there are a couple of more days go there for tickets for this year's barbecue. Again, Tuesday, August 22nd. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. I believe he said it last week. Partner Steve Bick, again, out next week. He'll be at Del Mar for the Pacific Classic, but we'll see him 2 weeks down the road for Loose on the Lead, so I'll be solo again. But it was a fun solo morning this morning, obviously, with Lee Einsiedler after the really fabulous performance yesterday by Casa Creed. Jesse Ullery for Faceic. That was a fun conversation as well. And don't forget, tonight and tomorrow afternoon, Faceic Tipton, two blocks down the street from the track. Stop by. You'll have a good time. And Joe Bianca, check out the Rail Talk podcast. All right, Seth Merrow for Loose on the Lead on a Sunday. We'll try to knock it out of the park today with the show pool. We'll see how that works. Don't forget, Clubhouse Racebook Double Promo Day. Low rollers up here. And entries open this afternoon at the website for next Saturday's syndicate as well. And mandatory pay in the Rainbows or in the Pick Six at Del Mar this afternoon. So keep that in mind. I think we caught you up on all the notes. As far as the morning programming, we'll be back Wednesday at 9 a.m. for the Handicapper Support and 10 for Racing Across America. But it's a great day if you're coming up to the track. So far, it is gorgeous. So nice day of racing ahead. Either enjoy it here, Clubhouse Racebook, local OTB, or watch us right here on the network throughout the afternoon and play on your phone or computer. Have a great day. And again, we'll see you Wednesday morning, 9 o'clock, for the Handicapper Support.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.